Let's get started by just taking a minute of silence to really enter the room. Be aware, here we are, we're together. We've gone across the threshold from whatever it was we were doing just a few minutes ago to what we're doing right now. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you out there in Zoomlandia. What I wanted to talk about today and experiment with in meditation is what's often called resourcing, of just being able to come inside into sources of strength and support that, as you are aware of them, you can always carry with you. And I wanted to start with just a story that one of my teachers at the New York Zen Center told just this last weekend. And in Zen, and Zen is quirky and from the outside inscrutable, but a very ancient practice and a very valuable one. And Zen, there are many different traditions in Buddhism, just as there are many different traditions in Christianity and Judaism, and each one has a particular flavor. One thing in Zen is that you have there's a long tradition of a one-on-one relationship with your teacher. And in a monastery or for serious lay practitioners in contemporary times, you can become a formal student and of a particular teacher. And that's a relationship that often lasts a lifetime. And the structure is that you meet with them once a week or once every 2 weeks, very short, 10 minutes in if you're meeting in person. You're right face to face if you're cross-legged on the floor, a foot or two away from each other. And these relationships go on for years. And Koshin was just telling the story that the highest compliment a Zen teacher can receive is if one of their longtime students is asked what they have learned from their teacher, and they say, not much. So think of that, that the teaching, the role of a successful teacher in that model is not to tell you what will work for you, but to reflect back for you, back to your own true nature, so that you can begin to trust the strength and the wisdom that you have inside you. That there's another saying, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. Because the Buddha on the road that's outside of you is not the true Buddha. So this all is around the idea of learning to trust the strength of your authentic self, of what resources you do have, when you clear out the noise and the insecurity and the stories that we tell about ourselves. Easy thing to do, you know, it'll only take you a few lifetimes. You might as well get started now. But this idea of resourcing, which is broadly used in many different disciplines, in mental health and therapy and trauma work and in working with children in all sorts of situations, is to become aware of those sources of inner strength, those sources of support that you can draw on. And it's wonderful to become aware of this, to begin to practice with this in a time of relative calm and on a regular basis in calm, so that these resources are there when you need them, when you aren't calm. And we know if suddenly we find ourselves in an accident or in an argument or in a situation that makes us fearful, we shut down. We go into panic, to fight, to flight, or to freeze. If we have these resources, if we've practiced these resources so that we recognize them and we can bring them to call, our chances of being able to bring real consciousness into that moment of difficulty are much greater. So I just wanted to talk about a few different ways to think about resources. And you will find that one or more, or maybe even all of these are helpful for you personally. But over time, you can experiment and find those that work for you the most. And the one that we're going to work with most today is the sense of allies, of having in your awareness and ready on call to draw on the wisdom and love and support of those whom you feel supported by. And these can be people living or dead. They can be elders. They can be friends. They can be a partner. They can be spiritual figures who you, historical or contemporary. It can be Jesus or Mary, the Dalai Lama. It can be perhaps if you've have experience in a support group for recovery or for grief, it can be those people who you have grown over time to most trust and to know that they know you and they support you and they're on your side. And these resources are these people, these figures, are with us. They don't have to, they're always with us if we call on them. We carry them by the nature of the trust we have in them and the trust they have in us. We carry them with us. And to bring them into our consciousness is to have their support palpably with us. I think I've mentioned before that for whatever reasons, I've always been fascinated by those memoirs and recollections and biographies of people who have been through extreme duress as hostages or prisoners of war and terrible injury or illness. And in those cases, in feeling entirely deserted, unable to access in a physical way, that friends or supporting other supports, what people will often find inside are these resources by the very nature of having no other choice. They find them inside and they are supportive to them. Most of us in our lives, hopefully, will not have challenges at that depth. But the fact that that's there is something that's available to us and really worthwhile cultivating. So to bring into presence, to have in your awareness that one or two or three figures or images or friends present or past who you can call on when you need them is a tremendously powerful resource. Another resource which is we always start with in our meditations is the resource of physical presence, of really understanding that you are here now, to ground in the present moment, to ground with your breath, to ground with the feeling of your body, the feeling of your bottom on your chair or your feet on the floor. Jack and Taram, two of my teachers, talk about working with one particular Iraqi vet who was suffering severely from PTSD. And as they worked with him over time on trauma, what he found when he was starting to be triggered again was that he could ask himself to feel the ground with his feet. And he would say to himself, "I am here, I am not there." And he would also say to himself, "God is with me." And words are another way of resourcing. And those words will be very personal to each one of you. For him, he needed to remind himself he was here, he wasn't in Iraq, and that God was with him. You'll find those words that it might be, "Yes, this too," or "I am here," or "I am not alone." I am in the Buddha land I dwell, whatever those words might be for you. To come back to things that support you, just a couple simple lines or mantras, if you will, that you can draw on in a time of stress. A gesture, self-gesture, is another very powerful resource. What are those gestures of caring that you think of? It might be a hand, putting your hand on your own cheek or on your heart. These are areas of warmth, and there are a lot of nerves, and to simply touch those areas brings forward a sense of grounding and a sense of resource. I'm talking about this in times of difficulty, but it's not just in times of difficulty that these grounding resources can be valuable. A lot of you have talked to me about how difficult you find it to calm your mind in meditation, that the mind is just going a million miles an hour. And I go through periods where it's almost impossible for me to slow my mind down. And I've been in that lately. There's just a lot going on. I sit down and grow quiet, and it's finally time to think of everything I haven't had the chance to obsess on yet that day. And I've done this for a long time, but that still, I go through long periods of this. And lately I've been finding that it really helps me. I'll come back to my breathing, but in addition to coming back to the breathing, is simply to put my hand on my heart, or even put my hands with my thumbs into my solar plexus. But to have that physical grounding, touching my, gesturing to my own body, "I am here." And I find that very calming, and it quiets me. And those voices begin to, if they don't entirely leave the room, they at least go in the corner and quiet down a little bit. I think when I started recognizing, even being introduced to this word resourcing, an experience memory came back to me where I realized, oh, this was an experience of resourcing. After high school, I was an exchange student in New Zealand for a year, and my family took me to Bay of Islands, and it was just such a beautiful area. And there are all these, this beautiful, beautiful coast, and then all these islands out there. And there was an island that wasn't very far away, and I thought, I want to swim to that. And I'm a fairly small, strong swimmer. And so I went, I told my family I was going to do that. And I had such confidence, they didn't worry about me. So I started to swim out there. And, islands, distances can be so unclear on the water. And I got about halfway out there and I realized I was exhausted, and this island was really, really far away. And I looked back and I could hardly see the shore. My family had young kids and they were playing. No one was paying the least attention to me. There were no boats on the water. I was completely alone out there. And I started to panic. And when you panic in the water, you start to sink and you can't catch your breath. And I had had life-saving in high school. And I will tell you, I did not pass life-saving in high school, but I remembered it. And they talk a lot about panic and what happens and why when you go to save someone, they will try to drown you. They're so panicked. And I could recognize I am panicking. And I could, but just by naming it, and I also could remember, I know how to float. All I need to do is just roll over on my back and I can rest and I can float. And I did that and I could get my breath and I could rest. And then when I looked out, I decided, well, I'll go ahead. And I swam to the island and then I swam back because I knew at any point I could roll over on my back and rest. So I may not have passed life-saving in high school, but it did save my life. Quite literally that day, it saved my life. And these physical sensations, you know, I don't remember learning to float, but I remember watching my grandson learn to float. And when you realize how to position your body where you float instead of sink, or that first time that you can release the training wheels on the bicycle and you have your balance, or going down the hill where you can let go of snow plow and skiing and begin to ski. And those physical sensations of finding balance in your body are powerful resources for us too. So that's an introduction, and let's just do a little meditation and some experimentation with this today.